So in the next segment, we'll talk about a treatment approach for severe asthma and comorbidities. So here you have a table of the currently available anti-IL-5 and anti-IL-4, IL-13 therapies. Mepolizumab was the first of these therapies to emerge. All of them have pretty well the same characteristics in terms of a prior history of exacerbation, a eosinophilic cutoff that's generally in the range of 300. With regard to dupilumab, those criteria weren't integral to the study design, but they have emerged also as very helpful, as I mentioned. Mepolizumab, benralizumab, and dupilumab, all three of these therapies have been shown not only to be beneficial in terms of reducing exacerbations, but also a reduction in systemic corticosteroid use. Reslizumab has not been successfully evaluated for this criteria, and also reslizumab, among the four treatments that are listed there, is the only one that requires intravenous infusion, whereas the others are all subcutaneous. These drugs are efficacious in terms of improving asthma control, improving spirometry, quality of life, and with the exception of reslizumab, reducing corticosteroid dependence, and most importantly, reducing the risk of exacerbations. So our management of severe asthma has been transformative, and as I see patients, we have what we would call super responders, who really respond unbelievably well, and they feel these treatments in some cases are almost curative. They want to throw away their inhalers. They're doing so well. So it's really been a huge transformation of our care of severe asthma. In terms of the comorbidities that we have talked about, the mepolizumab is the one that's most advanced, as it were, in terms of EGPA and hyper eosinophilic syndrome. Reslizumab is largely limited to phase two studies in EGPA. Benralizumab is in phase three for all of these three conditions. And dupilumab is the only one that's been approved from chronic rhinosinusitis with nasal polyps. Mepolizumab and EGPA treatment has really been very effective. The prior treatment that we had for this was prednisone. And what the studies have shown is that it induces not only remission, but also reduces significantly the risk of relapse. What the data also show is that in the studies evaluating mepolizumab in EGPA, when the treatment was stopped, there was a less likelihood for remission to persist. So it's very important that the patients continue, and that's the clinical experience. The study obviously has to have some boundaries to it, but when treatment is stopped after 52 weeks, there tends to be a relapse. In terms of dupilumab, it's been, I would say, dramatically effective in terms of sinus disease. Again, it's shown remarkable efficacy in terms of reducing the need for prednisone. And again, once the treatment was stopped at the end of the trials, there was a recurrence in symptoms. So again, the treatment is effective, but it's not a disease-modifying treatment, and it's one that needs to be continued beyond the study period. And in addition to the polyps we and prednisone need, there's also reduction in nasal congestion and obstruction. So this has been a very big advantage. In this benralizumab study, the presence of nasal polyposis was associated with a better response to benralizumab. But this is the first of the currently available biologics that we mentioned earlier, where efficacy has been shown. But the others, apart from the studies that I've mentioned that are in progress, haven't specifically evaluated that. But the expectation would be that hopefully these other, particularly anti-IL-5 drugs, will also show benefit in sinus disease.